As Lord, let's pray for the message. Lord, as we come to the message today, Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would guide us. Father, I ask that you would remove me, get me out of the way, Lord. And Father, just speak through your word. Thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for an opportunity to be still and know you, to be still and hear your word, to have you speak to our minds and hearts, Lord. I just pray that we would be different because of the truth of your word living itself out in our lives. So, Lord, may we be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Pray this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're continuing on social media and the gospel. And as we do that, really looking at how we bring words of encouragement in this time where the media can be so discouraging and where social media can be so all-encompassing. I have people I know, that family members that are just connected to social media, and they're just so connected that it's... And I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of people, when they get into the social media, one of the things that can happen is, have you noticed a lot of people can kind of get to be bullies on social media? There's something about being anonymous. It's kind of similar to driving in a car by yourself, right? When you get behind the car and you're in behind the wheel and things are going, it's kind of easy to think of that car as your little kingdom. And anything that comes against your kingdom, you tend to react about. I just saw, two days ago, a guy, a little miscommunication of a few cars up ahead of me, and somebody had tried to pull in, the other guy wouldn't let him in. And so then I watched this little car battle on the road as they were letting the other one know, you should have let me in, and now I'm going to keep scaring you like I'm going to hit you. And it was like, okay, this is not good. But it can be the same on that social media where we have these anonymous people that can be rough with each other, can be bullies to each other. And so the question that I want to be asking us is in this new world of new media, how do we bring healing? How do we bring the truth of Christ in ways that is a blessing? How do we bring counsel and encouragement to a world that's pretty focused on the negative? Pretty focused on the negative. The increase in addiction to social media shows people have a need to connect, don't they? People are on this social media. Why? Because they're longing to connect. They want to find a way to be known and to know others and to be of value and to have purpose. And so those aren't bad things in and of themselves. Those are good things. But the goal is, how do we connect with people in a way that blesses and encourages? Can we use this media for good? Pat just headed down with, she's teaching the kids today, but... Pat Haynes, I don't know if you know, she just started a new blog for the ladies, and it's encouraging. Has anybody read one of those? Yeah, yeah. And it's a blog on our website, and just an opportunity to go back to some of those basics of what is faith and how to encourage through some of the foundations of faith and our walks with God. So, you know, there's ways that we can be encouraging and use those things. And we're going to finish up with Isaiah 11, 1 through 3 from last week. We hit the first three last week. We're going to hit the last three this week. So Isaiah 11, 1 through 3. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, that's Jesus, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. as the Holy Spirit guides us in encouraging others to become dependent on Jesus and not on our own or their own understanding. And so last week we looked at the first three of these things that are talked about the first one was the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. We also hit the Holy Spirit gives us understanding and the Holy Spirit gives us counsel. And today we're going to do most of our focus on the fourth one, which is the Holy Spirit gives us strength and power. In the book of John, it talks about whoever believes in Christ will do the works that he's been doing. And they will do greater things than even he has done. But I think what he means there is because there's so many of us, we'll do more. Because there's so many more of us. Christ went, he sent the Holy Spirit, God himself, to be with us, to be our counselor and an encourager. And through us, the Holy Spirit gives encouragement and counsel to others. That is truth in love. And it has the power to redeem, to transform. Have you ever been sharing with somebody? And as you share, the Holy Spirit, you can feel God speaking through you. And you don't see somebody just understanding a little bit better, but you see an actual transformation take place. I'll never forget a gentleman came, and when he came to me, he was working just across the street when the building down there was the pot building, and medical marijuana. They were selling medical marijuana across the street. And the gentleman who owned it, I got to know him, and we became friends. And he sent up one of his guys because he was really struggling. And so he came up, and when he came in, his hair was disheveled. He was obviously high, and he was extremely depressed. And discouraged, and he was unable to communicate very well. He was kind of kept getting lost in his speech. And as we were speaking, I was asking him some questions, and through those questions, one of the things that he shared was that he had never really been to church, and he didn't, you know, but he was just so confused. And as we shared more and more, I didn't know what to say to him. I had nothing to say. I had nothing to share. And so I the reason I had nothing to share is I felt like everything was missing its target. Everything I had shared so far had gone on deaf ears. And so I said, can we just pray? And he said, okay. And I said, okay. So we started praying. And in the prayer time, the Holy Spirit just moved. And he took on a different countenance, and when we finished praying, I looked up, and I'm not joking, his hair was no longer disheveled. He was able to understand what I was saying. He was quick of wit. He was intelligent. And he started remembering. He says, you know, Pastor, when we first started talking, I said, I didn't really go to church or never been. But he goes, I remember now. When I was a child, I used to go with my grandmother to church. And I'm listening, and he's speaking in full sentences, and it's not broken anymore. And God just made his mind quickened and able to understand. And we shared, and I shared about the gospel, and he received and took it in. And man, it was one of those moments where it was all God. I had nothing to do with anything that happened that day with him. And God spoke, and he heard, and he moved, and God moved. And it was powerful, and it was encouraging. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us power. And we see that as we look at that scripture, it says in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might. And that might is the same Spirit. And remember, what God gave, what Christ has done, we will do even more. From John 14, and as he speaks to us, as his Holy Spirit speaks through us, he's going to speak in strength and in power. For this, I really want us to spend some time in Ephesians 6. So Ephesians 6, 10 through 13 says this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. In His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Guys, we cannot combat demonic powers without the power of God. We can't stand against the enemy in our own strength and be successful. Satan is stronger than you and I. Reality. He's stronger than us. But in Christ, if we are in Christ, we already have victory. And so we can stand in Christ's strength and not our own. And every time the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, the enemy does not give up ground without a fight. There is a battle going on. You know, this battle is pretty amazing. And it's amazing, though, how God can take something, someone like us, someone like me, like you, and in His strength make us strong. And kind of the example I think is appropriate is a piece of straw. If you take a piece of straw, it's pretty weak, flimsy. You put it in the winds of 200-mile-an-hour tornado, and whip that straw at 200 miles per hour, it becomes a dart that can penetrate wood, steel, trees, doors. A flimsy piece of straw can become a great weapon. Guys, in Christ, we are strengthened and we become weapons for Christ. We become, remember, the gates of hell will not stand against Him. We get to be on the offense. We don't just play defense and try to survive. We're not about, if we can just make it through this life. Guys, that's a defeated mindset right there. I just got to make it another day. No, you have victory today in Christ. We have victory in Christ. Our words without authority are flimsy. Our words without the authority of Christ, they're flimsy and weak. We're in a battle of words. We're in a battle of truth. And so when we move, we have the tornado power, that all-encompassing power of God Himself moving through us. And it is powerful. Let's continue in Ephesians. It goes on to say, stand firm then. And it gives us some specifics of how we stand. It says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's break this down a little bit. It's very, very poetic language, isn't it? It's the kind of language that can make you go, what? What does that mean? What does it mean to take the belt of truth? Well, the belt of truth is what? It's the gospel. We're to take the gospel. And I love what it, to kind of bring a little more light, 1 Corinthians 2, and it really, 2, 6 through like 16, but we're only going to take the first 6 through verse 10. Says this, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen,
What no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things of God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things. And I love this part. Even the deep things of God. The deep things of God. Guys, the gospel is given to us, and we get to experience the deep things, the deep truths of God. What happens when you go fishing in shallow water? What kind of fish do you catch? Small little fish. When you go into the deep, what do you get? You get the bigger fish. As we grow in our walk, as we grow in our sanctification of the gospel, as the gospel comes in and transforms us more and more, as we start living out the truths of the gospel in more areas of our lives, more areas of our lives become sanctified. That means where the rubber meets the road in everyday life, more and more of those areas, we start giving to him. Guys, it's so, I shouldn't say easy. It makes sense to walk a life of faith on Sunday. It comes more naturally. We're often at church. We're often with other believers. Shared values, not the pressure like we have at work. Monday through Saturday, it's a little harder to live out our faith, isn't it? It's a little harder to have the gospel, to living itself, to have the belt of truth, to be in the gospel as we communicate with others. His atoning work is absolute truth and central to our faith. And I love that. This whole idea of the belt of truth is his atoning work of the absolute truth. And the truth of God is central to our faith. So we've got the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness is the second one that's talked about there. And the breastplate of righteousness, we are justified not by what we do. We are justified by Christ and Christ alone. By his work, his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and preparation for us, and preparing for us a place, preparing for us in eternity. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the great exchange. This is amazing, guys. In the breastplate of righteousness, we get to have this covering over. What does the breastplate cover? The heart. See, God's after our heart. He doesn't just want obedience from us. He wants our hearts. And the breastplate of righteousness covers that which is his in faith. So what does the enemy want to get from us? Our hearts, what we desire, what we long for, what means something to us. If he can penetrate in that with lies and deception, then we won't be experiencing the truth of who we are in Christ in certain areas of our lives. We get this great exchange. The third area is the shoes of readiness. And guys, in Christ we have peace. The feet fitted with the gospel of peace. I love that, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. With your feet fitted, so we're ready to move with the gospel of peace. We're ready to move. In that peace. In Christ is our peace. And guys, there is no peace outside of Christ. And when we're sharing with people, when we're connecting with people, you know what people are longing for and why they're going to this media, why they're going to virtual relation? There's a desire to connect, to have meaning and to have peace and joy. There's a desire for those things. I remember searching and searching and going after things, trying to find peace for my life. I grew up in an unpeaceful home at times. And my nickname, one of my nicknames in my home growing up was the peacemaker. Because I wanted to be quiet. I wanted it to be okay. I didn't want there to be fighting. I wanted there to be peace in the home. But in my own strength, I never achieved it. The only way that we can have peace, and what I realized was I can't bring peace to, I can experience the peace of Christ, and I can share that peace that I have with others who are in the storm so that they can have the peace in the midst of the storm. Because we can't shut down the storm, but we can have peace in the midst of it. And so when we're fitted, when we're ready, when we've got the gospel and we're ready to move forward with it, we get to bring peace, experience it, and bring it to others. The gospel of peace comes from the atonement and the shield of faith, extinguishing the enemy's darts. James 1:14 says, "But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed." Guys, there's something in us, isn't there, that desires what we don't have, what we want to get. And when we're not in the truth and living out the gospel, what we desire is the things of this world. And the things of this world leave us empty and wanting more. There's a great line in a movie where it's talking about how much is enough, and the main character says, "How much is enough? How much? More." The answer is more. That's all that, more, just more. There's that desire for more, and man. And the enemy entices and brings these things before us. The darts that the enemy has is temptation, accusation, and deception. Tempting us with what we don't have, tempting us. And we see that in Genesis 3, don't we? In Genesis 3, we see that tempting. The very first thing, do you know what's the very first thing that Satan says to a person?
Did God say?
Did God say not to eat of that tree? Did he really say not to eat of any tree in the garden? Did he really say that? We've got all three of those. We've got the temptation, the accusation, and the deception. We've got the temptation that there's something that's out there that God's holding out. Man, there's the accusation. God is holding out on you. And he doesn't want you to have it. God doesn't want what's best for you. And the deception, the lie itself, trying to get us dependent on him and the lies of the enemy. His lies rather than the truth of Christ. Those are powerful darts, guys. Temptation, accusation, deception, those are extremely powerful. How do we deal with those kinds of weapons? What can we bring? We've got the shield of what? Faith. You see, with faith in Christ, we have gone from death to life. And these darts that the enemy is sending our way, they are powerful. But guess what? We've got the kind of shield. And it's not talking about any shield. The wording that's used here speaks of a specific shield. And I love this because it's the kind of shield that it's not a small little shield, but it's a big shield. And it's a big, large, rectangular shield that would connect with the shield of the person next to you. And what you would use this kind of shield with is to create a wall in front. And so you lock down, your shield is in leather, you dip your leather shield, giant leather shield, in water, and you create a wall with all of the people that you're with to create this wall of protection. And behind those shields, you got other guys with arrows shooting their shots. And they're protected by these shields that are connected. And we've got this shield of faith, and faith is our power comes from God, and we're to do it together. And that's what a beautiful picture of these shields that are used to stand together in faith. Guys, we're not called to take this journey by ourselves. We're called to stand and lock those shields together and create the kind of wall that now we're aggressive, now we're on the offense. Now we're successful because we're not just trying to survive, we're being aggressive in our faith. We're moving forward in our faith. We're taking new ground. As you want to take new ground in your life, don't do it by yourself. God gives you the strength to do it, and then he gives you the ability to do it through others too. And when we start sharing what's going on, and we start sharing our weakness, our struggle in the battle, we're locking shields. When we start sharing and bringing into the light our sin, now we're powerful. Now we're taking new ground. New ground. Keep taking new ground. Why? Because we're not living in fear and we're not living in the shadows. You see, when sin has a foothold or a stronghold in our lives, it causes us to know that we're full of it. To know that we're saying one thing and living another. Where in your life are you living in defeat? Guys, all of us have areas. Every single one here in this room has an area or areas. Areas, I think all of us have areas, plural, of weakness. I think that's fair to say. I hope I'm not the only weird one that way. I hope. Areas where the enemy can just come and do damage. And if we're not, man, dressed for battle, if we're not wearing the armor of God, if we're not standing in his strength and not ours, if we're not wearing the protection and the armament that he has given us in our new identity in him, man. You know, so many movies, they show war and they make it look very romantic and beautiful. And, you know, you've got all those Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll be back. All those movies where the army guys and Sylvester Stallone, where, you know, it's one guy with a machine gun and he takes out 30 tanks, 4 helicopters, and 1,000 people on foot. It doesn't work that way. Just so you know, those are just movies, all right? Not reality. Reality, war is ugly. It is gross. It is bloody. A relative of mine who was in battle and came back and he had been in a role of authority of sending men into battle, and he's still struggling through what happened to some of those people as they went in under his orders, because it's battle is ugly, war is ugly, and the wounded is overwhelming at times. Guys, the spiritual battle can be beautiful or it can be ugly. In victory, it is sweet. But when we are living in defeat in areas of our lives and in silence and in fear that what if somebody knows this junk in my life and I'm such a hypocrite and, man, welcome to the club. We're all hypocrites. We are, guys. If we believe in Christ, there are areas of our lives that we struggle in. We know truth and we struggle yet. So we need to have a lot of grace for each other, don't we? And we tend to look at people who struggle with sin that's different than my sin as less spiritual and more got more dirt on them. But my things aren't so bad. I might not be the big ones, right? God looks at sin. And sin to a holy God has to be dealt with. Guys, because of your sin, because of my sin, Christ had to die on the cross. It's nothing to just sneer about. It's nothing to say, well, it's not as bad as him or her. It is big. It is real. But we have the shield of faith that extinguishes the darts. Guys, when we're talking about power, it's power. It's God's power. And it's awesome. That word is overused, isn't it? Awesome. But the power of God is truly awesome. It's amazing. Not only the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of readiness, the shield of faith, and we've also got the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. What does a helmet protect? The head, the mind, how we think. How we think. Guys, God is not only concerned about what we do. Christ said that you've heard it said, you know, don't commit adultery. I say if you've looked at a woman lustfully, you're an adulterer in your heart. You've heard it said, don't commit murder. If you've got anger towards a brother, you're a murderer in your heart. You're the way you think affects what you do. And so if the enemy can get into how we think and how we process things, man, and yet we've got a helmet, not only the shield of faith, but the helmet of salvation. What protects our minds is who we are in Christ. Our identity. That's a powerful thing. Salvation encompasses everything. It encompasses everything. Everything. We're not partially saved. There's nobody who's going to... My mom used to say, Matthew, the way you drive, the speed you drive at, you're going to be the only guy I know who's limping in heaven because your gas foot didn't make it into heaven. She was giving me a hard time. Somebody, when he was young, got a few tickets. Mom was being creative. When she really knew that nobody's going to be limping in heaven. Salvation encompasses. It's all encompassing. The physical, the emotional, the relational, the spirit. Man. God wants our minds. He wants how we think to be constantly brought back before him and put at the foot of the cross. And then the last one, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I love that. Once again, what does a sword mean? It's a means to protect and kill and destroy. It's a means for both defense and offense. It's the whole thing. And we've got the sword of the Spirit, which, man, if you think about this, from Genesis to Revelation, the theme of God's word is about our need for Christ's work on the cross to pay for our debt that we couldn't pay, and his resurrection to reconcile us back to him. And the sword of the Spirit, it rests on what? It's the word of God, which is offensive and defense. It's the word of God. It's truth. You see, there's something powerful about truth. What happens when we live in truth? Guess what? Our need to have a way to figure things out in our own mind and own strength to make things right doesn't exist anymore, because the truth brings light. The truth allows the light to shine. So when I'm in sin, when I'm living according to error, remember the Word of God says what? And the truth shall set you free. And if the truth sets us free, what's the opposite of that? Error binds. And so when I live in areas of error in my life, I'm living in bondage. Anybody here bound right now in certain areas of their lives? Anybody experiencing bondage? Is there a relationship you have where there's unforgiveness? That every time you think of that person, there's not love and joy and peace. There's revenge. God, get that guy. Get him. He deserves it. Isn't it great God didn't give us what we deserve? That we were forgiven, yet still in our sin? That God died on the cross not because he said, these guys have gotten so good, they deserve my salvation. No, in the midst of our being putrid and broken, God said, they have no other way to experience holiness. And I am holy and I cannot be with them outside of holiness. So I will provide holiness for them. I will do what they can't do for themselves. And Christ died on the cross because of his great love for us, so that we could be made whole emotionally, relationally, spiritually. Hey guys, as we do this, as we bring this truth into our relationships, remember, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors. We represent someone else. And so as whether it's new media, whether it's relationship, as we connect and communicate with other people, as we put on our armor and move forward, we get to bring the truth and love, and we get to be covered in a way where when we're done, we're not mutilated. We're not destroyed. It means we can go into relationships that are broken and do what's right before God, even if the other person doesn't respond in a way that we want. And after they've responded right or wrong, we don't have to be broken. To me, that's exciting. To me, that's what changed my life, growing up angry and hateful, wanting revenge, my whole life being about one day. One day I'm going to make this world right. One day I'm going to make those who hurt me pay. It was eating me up. And I got to go from complete brokenness, complete, guys, brokenness. The kind that there is no peace and no joy. Years of living without peace and joy. To then a place of wholeness. And those truths that my mom brought me up, those truths that I heard from my mother, that I saw in her life, in the midst of her broken world around her, and I got to see her wholeness. And then one day I came to faith and experienced that wholeness. But the enemy's darts are real. And there is such a desire to have those darts that will penetrate of temptation, accusation, and deception. But we don't have to be under those. We don't have to be in the junk. We don't have to be in the fire. Well, we kind of do have to be in the fire, but we don't have to get burned. And it's a beautiful thing when you're in a fire and not getting burned. Just ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love that. Daniel 3. Man, think about that. Daniel 3. I love what they say as they're preparing to be thrown in the fire. Our God will give us victory. He'll save us. And here it is. But even if he doesn't. In other words, I really believe he's going to save us physically. But even if he saves us spiritually, and that's it, that's enough for me. In other words, I trust God, even if it goes differently than what I have planned in my head. God will save us, he'll protect us, but even if he doesn't, our God reigns. Our God is victorious. We're not going to bow. We're not going to give in. We're not going to figure out a way to try and make it right in our own strength, in our own ways. We're going to stand on God's truth and that alone. Period. I wanted to focus on that one because, man, I want us to experience more victory. Victory is beautiful. Guys, it's a lot more fun when you're watching a game like in March Madness and your team's the Huskies, and when we play, it's great with a victory, isn't it? What happens with a defeat? Oh man, we're out of it. We are victorious already in Christ. We are already, so we need to live in the truth of who we are and where we stand and not be brought in by deception and temptation into the lies of what we're not. And believing those lies and living as those lies are true. The last two of the six are from chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, is the Holy Spirit gives us not only power and strength, he also gives us knowledge. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength. Guys, the eyes of the heart may be enlightened. The kind of knowledge that God gives is not just book smarts, intelligence. It's knowledge. It's wisdom. It's an ability to understand. It's an ability to have, to see the things of God before us. And to be able, no, that's not right. And to be able to say, man, that looks like truth, but it's not. It's just truth with a twist. So it's just a little bit of a lie. Gives us discernment. And then the last one, that the power is the same as the mighty strength. What kind of strength? What for? That he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. So our strength is from the resurrection of Christ, of him resurrected and seated at the right hand. That's a beautiful strength. It's a beautiful knowledge. It's a beautiful truth. And we have that same power. And then the third, the Holy Spirit gives us the fear of the Lord. As there's not enough fear of the Lord in our world today. And you know what I mean by that? There's not a great enough understanding that God is God, and I am not. And I am dependent on him. There's very little reverence for who God is. There's very little understanding of the power of God. Because if I understood fully the power of God, my humility would come so naturally. But it doesn't. At times, my pride gets in the way. And I think that I can deal with these things in my own strength, so I don't armor up. I don't prepare. The Holy Spirit gives us the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 1:7 says, is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Some version says knowledge. I like wisdom. Because wisdom is greater than knowledge. God's knowledge in all situations, God's truth, true understanding, true, the kind of wisdom that goes beyond intellect. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a fool. And there's only one way not to be a fool. That's to be
have the understanding of God. That's to be dependent upon Him. Guys, all of this, taking on the armor that He has prepared for us. Because if you go to battle in flip-flops and shorts and a t-shirt, sorry for you. But if we go into battle armed by the one who makes armor, the one, the creator of all, who's special made our armor, specific for us. He knows us. He knows our weaknesses, our strengths. He knows what we need. And He's prepared for us the kind of armor to move forward, to bring wisdom and truth and peace, to bring the fruit of the Spirit to others in our relationships. So now when we counsel others, when we encourage others, when we're in a relationship with others, when we're talking to others on social media, we're not reacting and saying, oh, sorry for you, or that's not fair, and to get in, because I want to end with this. When we have that kind of a mindset, we get into the battle, but we're fighting the wrong battle. When we fight the wrong battle, we're taking on the wounds of others, and now we're going to fix it ourselves. And that just leads to more brokenness. Now, not only are they experiencing their brokenness, but now they've got my heat, my anger, my bitterness in the midst of their brokenness, supporting their brokenness. And man, whether it's online, whether it's in relationships, when we come alongside people, and instead of taking up their call to arms for what's against them, we bring in counsel that is godly. We bring the truth in love. Now, rather than bringing them into anger, or maybe even bringing them to dependence on me to make them feel good, we bring them to dependence on Christ, on God Himself. And now there's strength to deal with the problem. Now there's truth to deal with the problem. And it's not my truth, it's God's truth. Because you can give counsel that, quite honestly, I've given counsel too many times that was from me. And there's nothing to it. There's no meat on the bone. But boy, I tell you, when I bring people to a place of dependence on Christ and the truth of His word, now there's a feast to be had. Now there's satisfaction. Now there's pleasure. Now there's life. Now there's wholeness. Now there's the party. Now there's celebration. Because of wholeness, because we're in it together. And we're both being dependent on Christ and on His work on the cross, His atoning work on the cross. Let's take up the armor. Let's put it on. Let's be moving forward in His strength. Every single battle that comes up, you're going to have to armor up. Sorry. I wish I could say, put it on once, you're good to go. Guess what? When you're done with the battle, the armor comes off, doesn't it? We gotta gird up. We got to get ready for battle each time. Put on the armor. We got to go to the truth of who we are in Christ every time. We got to go to our actual identity in Christ to move forward, both with ourselves and encouraging others. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank You that we are not weak. We are not the straw that is just moved by the wind, Lord. We are in You, that straw that is so flimsy, Lord, it becomes a focus of Your power and authority, and we can speak with Your authority in our humility. And Lord, that we become powerful tools for You to bring blessing to others, to bring encouragement, to bring love, to bring truth, to bring wholeness in You. So Father, show us how to live out this truth. We pray that we would be doers of the word. Father, forgive us for where we've relied on our own strength, and we all have. Forgive us, God. Thank You that You do. And Lord, we don't want to stay there. We don't want to stay there, especially in certain areas of our lives where we're experiencing discouragement. We want victory to be experienced by us that we already have in you. So, Father, I pray that those lies of the enemy, those lies of deceit and temptation, and Lord, that those lies would be extinguished, put out, and replaced with truth of who we are in you. For your glory, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.